use that? That's part of that?
Yeah. Local law changes.
Okay.
Thanks, my son.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, it's 5:30. I'd like to call the work session to order. First item on our work session agenda is we have a guest here, Mike Hart, from Veteran Outreach.
Town of Slack.
Yes.
Can I just come up and address you guys?
Sure.
Is that fine?
Yeah, that's fine.
I just got about a 2.5 minute read, and then I'll open it for questions.
Sure.
All right. Let's see. Dear Town of Lysander board members, I would like to first start by thanking each of you for letting me speak today. My background in the military had me in servitude to this country for 24 years, 4 months, and 29 days. Who's counting? In that time, I reached the enlisted rank of Master Sergeant in the U.S. Army Military Police Corps. After leaving the military in 2015, I stayed active at VFW Post 153 and attended and participated in many military-related events, such as the Beeville Memorial Day Parade and the Corporal Kyle Snyder Walk Run event held at Van Buren Park. My family grew up in the village of Baldensville within the town of Lysander on 16 Virginia Street, right in the village, where both of my boys graduated from Beeville High School. I am currently residing in the town of Salina with my wife and 2 dogs with attitudes, aka German Shepherds. I tell all of you this so you know I am speaking from a place of service and sacrifice, whether in the quaint town of Lysander or the great United States of America. Now I arrive at the reason why I'm speaking in front of you today. I come to you to discuss the possibility of hiring a veteran outreach coordinator. After being approached by the Salina Town Supervisor for the job and hired unanimously by the town Salina Town Board, I quickly learned how important of a role this plays in the day-to-day lives of so many veterans in our local community. Most importantly is the voice veterans are given in the town by having someone represent them. The position of veteran outreach helps bridge the gap between what we call civilians and the military community. The culture and lifestyle are at times gravely different, but with the advent of an outreach coordinator, you would see these two tribes come together. Not only do I serve the veterans in my community, but I also assist the town in remembering those great warriors of the past. This is done throughout the year by celebrating those brave service members and veterans who give and gave the ultimate sacrifice for their country and communities at large. I tried to reach out to other towns when I first took my position, but quickly found out that only 3 towns in all of Onondaga County have veteran outreach coordinators: Skaneateles, Elbridge, and Salina. With the amount of active duty and veterans within the community, I believe it's vitally important to have a voice at the table in every town across the country. So I asked the town board to think about the possibility of voting on a position, potentially in conjunction with the town of Van Buren, as I have had the opportunity to speak with their board members already and hire a veteran outreach coordinator. If you'd like further assistance, if you'd like further assurances that this position is warranted, I can gladly put you in touch with my town supervisor, Nick Parra, or the Onondaga County Veteran Service Director, Anne Marie Mencia, who would express how important of a position this is within your community. I would now open it up to the floor for questions. As I gave you guys the vote yes to an outreach coordinator, I listed some pros and cons. Obviously, the big con I'll start with is it's another line item expenditure, okay, for a part-time position. But what I talked about with Van Buren is you possibly want to share it. Between the two towns, I did some rough numbers, and I think this was like a 22 survey, so obviously the numbers were probably up, but it looked like Van Buren had about 14,000 residents. You guys have about 23, so that equals about 35,000. I have 33,000 in the town of Salina, and I got 1,169 vets on the books with who knows how many untold in apartments and whatnot. Because I get the assessment through our assessor's office when veterans come in to get tax breaks for one thing or another. So I reached out to Skaneateles and I reached out to Elbridge. Skaneateles, they work out, she works out of their local American Legion, all right? But it's somebody you guys can call, appoint, talk to. And I said you can set up, you know, your veterans coordinator however you'd like and work it. I'm more than happy to help find one. I've actually got some notices out there to different groups saying, hey, if anybody lives in Lysander or Van Buren, might be looking for a position. I want to make sure it's staffed correctly. I don't want somebody to come in this position and do it an injustice. Mrs. Lesniak, from Van Buren.
Yep.
Said she was going to get a hold of you and let you know what their thinking is. It was very positive, the meeting I had with them. You know, and I tell people, do you know who runs the Beeville Memorial Day Parade? The president of the VFW would be very instrumental in putting that together. Well, there's no more VFW. All right, it closed down because of lack of support. You know, they couldn't get eight guys together. And plus, it's a VFW is a veteran of a foreign war, so it discounts all the people that just served in the military.
Right.
So you see a lot of those closing down around the area. The oldest one is the American Legion. They take anybody who served, which is a good thing. And you're seeing, like, I've reached out to the Korean War vets, and the one in the Central New York chapter, I called him, and he's like 92, and he says to me, I've had enough. I'm good. Thank you. Click. You know, so Vietnam vets, I had breakfast with them this morning. They're all over 70. So, you know, that group's going to fade away once the Vietnam vets are all gone. You know, and what do we have? Is there a link between the veterans and the community? Because a lot of times those vets are want to be left alone. You know, but they're still part of the community. They just, they're kind of reserved. You know, and I just want to hit the positives real quick. You know, if none of the board members have ever been in the military, maybe didn't even have a parent that was in the military, you won't know much about it other than what you see in a parade or, you know, wherever you go to. But what I try to do is I try to take my ward counselors, I don't know what you call them here, but
yep, counselors,
and you know, and my supervisor, and get them involved. And it's been a lot nicer too, because in the past, and I've been part of this, you know, somebody would want to come and talk to the VFW, like, we're apolitical, I don't want to deal with any, you know, Republicans or Democrats, blah, 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 you know. But if there's a guy here representing the position of veteran outreach, he can be that conduit and then say, all right, you know, it's exactly what happened this morning. You know, I'm trying to get Nick to talk to these guys. And, you know, first thing he said to me is, as long as you come with them, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, they're not looking for a pitch. They're, you know.
Right, right.
Looking for what do you offer, what do you have
breakfast.
Whether someone's giving a pitch or not, it's received that way.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Let's say, that's where you go. Yeah, so one of the big things I do is I take calls. A lot of the elderly community doesn't want to drive downtown and try to find parking and get up to the, I think it's the 11th floor of the Civic Center to find the Veteran Outreach
right.
Center there at the county level. So they're starting to find out slowly but surely, because that's one thing as far as line item goes. You know, I don't have enough money in my budget to send out mailers every year and say, hey, my name's Mike Hart, I'm retired, blah, 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 this is what I can do for you.
Yeah, how do you get the word out to the residents?
So I go talk to the seniors groups, all the different veterans organizations. I tabled the Parade and Expo for the first time this year. It was a very good outreach. I actually had a guy call me this morning about it. Lives in Lynn Court and is looking for a shape-up grant. Which the county offers to veterans if they make under a certain amount. So I talked them through that, and obviously I talk about everything else going on. But when I took over the position, the supervisor had tasked my predecessor, Jeff Edwards, with putting together either a parade, you know, down maybe the parkway or whatever. And he came up with a car show. I said, no problem. Three bags full. I carried on. I started May 1st, 20 days later. I put on my first car show. I was hoping for 50 cars, got 71, and collected $2,400 for the Honor Flight Syracuse. If you've never been to the Honor Flight Syracuse, I'd recommend looking them up. They have flights go out April and September, and it's a great organization. To even like elderly ladies that may have had a spouse in the military that passed away, and you know, first thing I tell them is, make sure you bring a copy of your DD-214 to the funeral director and get his proper burial rights that it's afforded to him being a military member. And, you know, I get a lot of thanks and praise back just for those types of answers I have for him. I am not a service officer. You have to go to school for that to help prior military putting claims for benefits. So I don't do that. It'd be like a 40-hour week job. I'm not all into that. But I do want more veteran outreach counselors in other towns, and that's why I'm here today, just to talk to y'all, tell you how important it is. I know you've never probably had one here. I see a lot of towns with historians. I tell you, another thing the vets can do. The other one is, I know it's in Van Buren, but they had talked about one of their counselors works with the Corporal Kyle Snyder Foundation to do the 5K run walk, which the VFW used to be part of. We would do the color guard and post up in positions and stuff for her. Great organization. It sucks had to come about that way. Another good point that I've learned from a couple of the other outreach coordinators is a lot of the vets want you to come to them. So this is a part-time job that I do now for Salina. I work 15 hours a week, and a lot of it's on-call basis. So if somebody calls me, they want me, I will go there and talk to them. And that's what we call veteran outreach. I work with a lot of different vets, you know, some that have served in war, some that haven't. But nonetheless, they all need our help. And you can also, you know, depending on the guy you get, like my background is military police, force protection. I got a lot of training in police work. You know, so I jumped on things like their public safety committee and stuff like that to keep me busy. But it's an important part. And I know one other thing. Nick gave me the flags in the town. So if you drive through Salina, you know, because I'd be bitching about flags. I'm like, oh, you see a flag around the pole, yada, yada, yada. So he said, all right, you get that line item. Take care of the flags. I said, all right, I'll do that.
Right.
You know, here it's important because I believe the Chamber of Commerce collects money every year to buy the small flags. They then give them to the American Legion. American Legion works with the scout troops in the area to go and put flags at all the different cemeteries throughout Lysander and Van Buren. And it's just kind of really neat when you're walking the grounds to see some of these, you know, headstones back in the war, 1812, and even before then. So a lot of great history here. But that's my pitch. Anybody got any questions?
Well,
I don't want to take up
the one that was brought up was with the county having the program. So a lot of people, even though the county offers a veteran outreach, it's not very well received because you've got to go downtown.
Right. Okay. These guys don't want to get in their car and try to find parking downtown and this, that, and the other. That's why the county is starting to do a day at the vet center on Erie Boulevard. So it's not so congested for the older folks. It's just a conduit that I can't explain. In great detail, but I get calls all the time for just various different things. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on with the military is much easier handled at my level than trying to get an answer from the county level when they're busy. I mean, they're really busy with the PAC Act. They're hiring more service officers to put in the claims and whatnot, so their hands are pretty full. But Anne Marie, one of their goals was to try to get towns to have a veteran outreach coordinator. They reached out to Nick and the board talked about it, and then that's when they said, you know what, let's do this. And they hired Jeff Edwards for the first one, and then he fell ill, and that's when I was approached. But the first thing I did is, you know, I reached out to my towns, and I only found out there was two.
Right. And do they work about the same hours you, 10, 15 hours a week, or as needed?
Yes, absolutely. It's not a full-time gig. Right. It doesn't need to be. And especially if you share it with Van Buren, you know, you do 10 hours here, 10 hours there, it's 20 hours a week. It's a little scratch for the guy to put gas in his car and get to and fro. The big things would be, you know, like a laptop and a phone. So instead of having an office phone, I have a cell phone. So now, you know, I take calls after work. Sometimes I'll call them back. If it's after hours, I'll call them back and say, hey, I can meet you tomorrow at my office at 10, yada, yada, yada. And I can check my emails on there as well on my phone. But I have a hard top computer at the office.
Yeah. You know?
Whereas Sherry Spooner out in Skinny Atlas, she works out of an American Legion, which is fine with the town, I guess. But, when she's working, she'll put veteran outreach, turn in her hours. But now you have somebody that's going to be responsible to you, somebody that's going to report to you. You know.
Right.
So, and what I do, Nick and the ward counselors have kind of left me alone to do my own thing. which is helping veterans. He doesn't care if it's, you know, outside. It could be a veteran in Alaska,
right.
You know, as long as I'm helping veterans. But I usually give him a quarterly update. Every 3 months or so, I'll shoot them all an email and say, hey, this is what I've been doing, yada, yada, yada. So there's a multitude of things you can implement for checks and balances. You know, I wouldn't let the guy just willy-nilly, you know, guy or gal.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, very good. Does anybody else have any other questions?
And if you think of any later, I mean, you can shoot me an email.
I'd be
happy to respond. Ms. Lesniak, I told her I was going to shoot her an email after I spoke to the board. You know, I don't know how positive it is. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I know this is what you...
We'll talk to them. Yeah. We'll see where they're thinking, and, you know, we'll look at it. You know, obviously, our budget time's in September.
Yep.
You know, so...
Yeah, it's a good time to look for somebody. Yeah. You know, and there are guys that might do it for free, you know, like a historian does, right? And some of the times the historians...
Yeah, we pay our historian, but
sure.
Yeah, there's... Yeah,
so if it's maybe free till September, you know what I mean?
Right.
Where he's, you know, but we want to find the right guy.
Right.
I don't want to find a guy that's going to try to milk a system or nothing like that.
Yeah.
Right. Kick his ass out.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, I like it. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Yes, I appreciate
it. Thanks for coming out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, thank
pleasure.
You. Take care.
Yeah. Yes. Did I turn it on? Okay. The next item on the work session, Deputy Chrysler. Would you like to come up? We're going to talk about court security.
Or Todd.
He's in uniform.
Yeah.
Sent me an email, brought to my attention, you know, where we're at with court security.
Yes.
And current pay rates and the issues that come up with finding somebody to cover time and hours.
Yeah.
And I know you got thrown into this job. You were covered. Deputy Myers was taking care of it for a couple of years. He transferred, so you're the new guy on the block.
Yep, and they left it on me.
You know, you got it brought up to you. So... Do you want to give a brief synopsis to the board?
So, okay. From what I was made aware of, coming from another sergeant who runs the Town of Pompey Courts, when I put out the availability for filling the positions for here, to include the courts, for the $40 current rate it is right now, minimum 3 hours, when nobody was making contact back, you know, I was just letting it kind of ride at the time because we still had just enough coverage for the most part to work with the four different groups that we have now. Sergeant Martin then advised me that the sheriff's office is trying to create an equal size job pay basis, which is our overtime rate, currently $60 an hour. So I reached out, being new to this, to Mr. Rhodes, and was trying to figure out how to go about this, as no one guided me through this process. So I brought that to his attention to see if we could be able to equal that out, to make sure that we maintain the ability to cover the courts and keep interest, especially for the local guys around here. That's who I like to hire.
Right. Now, I know we got on the agenda tonight to hire Deputy West.
Yes.
To, you know, as a fill-in as needed basis to get in your pool of people to grab for the court, which is usually Tuesday, Wednesday nights throughout 4 weeks out of the month, depending on the early voting, you know, three other factors. Yeah. So he's fine with that right now?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So, you know, we're looking at his budget end. When we budgeted for the year, we had so much funds available.
Yep.
And, you know, I just wanted to keep the board abreast of it so we can have a discussion. And he was going to be here tonight rather than it coming from me piecemealed out of an email in passing.
And I explained it to the rest of everybody working too, because, you know, obviously townships and whatnot work differently than... You know, the same thing we do for our contract negotiations. You know, you got to set time that it's there for, and then once finances and all that kind of get discussed throughout the governorship, that's when it kind of can get taken care of. So
as
of right now, you know, it's fine. I just wanted it to be known that the agency itself, I guess, is trying to equal.
So, which
is smart.
I understand.
Yeah.
Now, a minimum? Was there also the four-hour minimum?
No.
Or was
I'm not going to put the four-hour minimum because of the difference in pay, I knew that was already such a large jump that I wasn't going to change the minimum.
Because we currently do a 3 hour.
Yes.
And if we're only here an hour, court's here an hour, you still get whoever's covering gets the 3 hour minimum, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So, Okay, I just wanted to cover that.
Yeah,
so
not try to jump that much too on
right.
that. Just.
But at least we know it's there when we sit down at budget time that might be a possibility to.
As of right now, I haven't advised anything about the 4-hour minimum, okay. And I didn't want to hit the township with anything extra than I had to. So.
Yeah, and what I had told Deputy Chrysler in the meantime is my first priority is covering the courts for security. My second priority is keeping the unruly's out here. In check. Now, some of them are related to me, so that makes a whole different wrinkle. But,
I'm not getting in between that one.
Is it a domestic at that point? I don't know. But
that's a family feud.
So, but that was all. We'll discuss it. We'll get back to you. We'll let you know.
Any questions?
I'll crunch some budget numbers and see where we're at.
I live in the area, so I can always shoot over and discuss whatever you guys got to discuss.
I don't want to make it. Shouldn't be hard for you.
No,
so,
it isn't.
I know. Now you get to be like a time manager. So that's it. Yeah. Good. Add it to your little bullet point on your resume.
There you go.
Yeah.
So thank you for the information.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item I had on the agenda, proposed local law changes / battery storage. Jack, our planning chairman, and Al, our town engineer, are here. I didn't know if you guys were any further along the process or if the board had looked at the local law changes.
I did.
But we have that, and then we've had some new caveats come to light. And do you have questions on let's start with where we are at with the proposed local law changes, and then I guess we'll progress to the next part of the conversation.
Okay.
I do. Yeah.
I'm going to save the one that's Jack's favorite for last, which is the purpose intent paragraph, and it's a philosophical question, but the one on solar code, section 320, the second bullet says, and I'll read it out loud, proposed solar farms whose property lines abut residential properties or county town roads will require a minimum setback of 200 feet, there's a T missing there, plus all season screening where needed. And then it goes on to say, at the planning board's discretion, the required setback may be greater than 200 feet. I would wonder if we should be a lot more specific where it says all season screening. I have no idea what that means. I'm sure I'll be schooled on this between Al and Jack, but it would seem to me that we want to require much more specificity there, that natural screening that would not be able to be seen 12 months through 12 months out of the year, so it obviously would include things like conifers or maybe a mixture. I don't like the word where needed because that seems subjective, so I'm wondering if we can work on this. And then the third bullet is the same thing. It says the upkeep of solar farm, it's fencing and screening. If a tree dies, I want it replaced that next spring or as soon as possible. So I wonder I'll listen at this point, if we want to be more specific in what we're saying there.
So the discretion piece, Bob, in relation to, so if you've got a solar farm that backs up to a large wetland or other area that's never going to be developed or necessarily seen from other properties, is a 200-foot setback required? An example of this would be the one that was approved on 60 Road. That backs up to a very large wetland. You're much better served to have more green space on the roadside or abutting the properties or setback than preserving a setback in that regard. So that's why we gave the planning board a little discretion to change the setback requirements. Or recommended that. I mean, ultimately, these are recommendations. So if the board wants to modify, change, that's okay. And we understand. We took it from a this is a
I'm not quibbling over the 200 feet. I think what you said here for the distance makes a lot of sense because it may be greater than 200 feet. I'm talking about the actual screening. And if you want to say it backs up to a natural area that already has natural screening, you can put that in here. But wherever else, I think isn't our goal to have natural screening be put in place? It doesn't say that. It just says all season screening. And I'm thinking absolutely of Church Road as a perfect example of, and I think we all recognize that at this point, that what we wanted there was trees that were at least 50 feet tall on the side of Church Road. And not that they're going to grow in 50 feet in 30 years' time, but almost immediately. And I know that's outrageously stupid to have what I just said, but you know, something to the effect that we're not going to allow green snow fence to take the place of all season screening. So I just want specificity here.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, to us, when we wrote it, we have a definition in mind and a vision in mind of what all season screening is. And basically what that is where you might have a row of trees that during the summer have wonderful leaves and you can't see a darn thing, and in the winter it's bare, then you would put conifers and stuff in there to make sure all season you can't see through it. I have no problem with that. I do have a concern if you try to spell out every possibility in the law. You have to, just like the board, the codes that you work with, you have to have enough understanding from the entity, in this case the planning board that's doing it. They know what it means. They know what they're looking for. They know what the code stands for. Hadn't thought about your point, Bob, and your concern, but you're right. By saying all season, you could argue a fence could do that. I get that.
Yeah, I trust you, Jack. And all I'm saying is, how do we know the town of Lysander is going to have a planning board chair 20 years from now that thinks snow fencing is perfect? So I just want, you know, to box us in a little bit.
We can tighten that up.
Okay.
And like I say, our recommendation, we tried to hit the key points that a lawyer would take to put it in final form and highlight what we thought were the important elements, like the 200-foot setback as a minimum versus the current code, which kind of suggests that there could be cases where it could be right up against the code or against the road. I have no problem working with that and trying to tighten it up, clarify, whatever.
That'd be great.
Yeah. But that's really what we're looking from you guys. Mm-hmm.
So, Jack, how about the words where needed? Like, how do we make sure that the planning board is the entity that decides where needed is?
Well, where needed gives the planning board the flexibility it needs when you might have a situation like what Al was talking about.
Right, I understand that. I just want to make sure that where needed is the planning board's flexibility and not the developer's flexibility.
All of this speaks to the codes that mandate how the planning board approaches an application.
Okay.
It's all the planning board.
Okay.
It's not the
okay.
developer, though.
All right.
If you would have a conversation with the current developer that Al and I had a call with yesterday, and we have another call with tomorrow about screening on Bob's favorite fence out there, you would know that the planning board is laying out very clearly for them what we are going to require for them to get an operating permit under the current codes. Under these codes, it would be much clearer to them.
Would it be appropriate to add a sentence at the end of that bullet that says, the goal of the town of Lysander is that after the construction is complete, that within approximately a five-year time period, that solar farm will not be visible from, and then make a determination. because here's why, and maybe I'm just a little bit skeptical, not of you and not of the current folks, because I think we're all on the same page here. But supposing some solar firm down the road says, oh, I got a deal on six-inch conifer trees from the state of New York. Will that work? Well, why not? Of course it will. No, it doesn't work. Okay. But you know it doesn't work, but someone down the road in the town of Lysander may say, oh, that sounds great. No, it's not great. So maybe we need to be really specific here that says, and our goal is in 5 years' time, and I'm only picking 5 years because I think that's reasonable in terms of trees leafing out and developing into something, especially if you do a mix of conifers and fast-growing deciduous trees like aspens that are going to, you know, they're going to die in 20 years, but the conifers will have replaced them. But something that tells the reader, we know what the town of Lysander wants. No, we understand exactly.
You know, maybe a better idea would be a standard detail box.
Yeah.
Like when we have a standard section for our roads, maybe a standard detail. Hey, we want two rows of evergreens staggered at 8 foot on center with like a row of shrubs in front of it. The 5 year thing I would be a little nervous about because soil conditions kind of dictate rate of tree growth and a lot of other factors that may be out of the control of the owner.
Absolutely.
But if we
the,
gave
the detail a, is what right. That's
yeah,
great.
Maybe that's a better way to approach it, and we could just attach it like we do our typical sections to our roads.
Perfect.
Right to the code. We already have something in mind that we would like to see, so we'll draw that up.
Sounds good.
Yeah, because Al is sort of describing the conversations we're currently having with the solar company and what we're asking them for is what he's outlined. But yeah, we could do that. But the 5 years,
I just threw it out. So I'm satisfied with what Al is saying.
You have to understand from our perspective. Well, my perspective, I won't try to speak for Al. The goal is not to totally make a solar farm disappear. I mean, that would be a challenge.
It's an unattainable goal. Yeah. You want to minimize the visual impact to the greatest extent possible.
And that's what we're working toward.
Got it.
I mean, you might be able to see between trees, you know, but you're not looking out into an empty old base and all you see is like right up the road here is the panels and stuff.
Absolutely.
The goal is to get it as invisible as possible. Yes.
I think you can put that right from the draft of the law. You put that's the object,
yes.
Objective of the law, so that when you free anything in the law will refer back to that objective. And so they give them discretion to do whatever they need to do, as long as it fits into what the total.
Yeah, but I agree with that. But Al is doing something even better. He's putting a detail that says, "And this is what you this is what we mean by to fill our goal." That's great. Okay.
But we just wanted to give you something to start the conversation. We've obviously succeeded.
And you've succeeded. Great.
Yeah, and this is not going to be a one work session thing, and it's on the agenda. There's a lot going on to the public, just so the public understands. There's a lot, you know, if you've looked at our agenda, we're going to hold the public hearings in the next meeting about extending the moratoriums because the state still hasn't gotten through their battery storage rules and ideas, and we have other things we'd like to add given recent discussions.
We have to put things into our codes with regard to battery storage.
So right now the state's given draft guidelines that are out for public comment, but nothing official has been adopted.
But we still have the ability, I believe, and Tony, he's the lawyer in the room, we still have the ability to shape and control what the impact is of those if they meet a code and can be established. I mean, you can't just sit there, in my opinion, and say, all right, state, tell us what you want. Because you know darn well what the state wants is to put these places all over.
Yep, right.
And we have to define where we'll allow them, what setbacks there may be, what kinds. Yep, we've got to. My point is this, gentlemen, to what you were saying, Kevin. All of these, literally all of these, came from the work of the comprehensive land use plan update. That was finished almost a year ago, as far as the work that went into it. Not the approval process, but the work that went into it. There's a number of things that have come up in the meantime that weren't even thought about. And I think it's so important that we spend more time looking at this and understanding it and what its potential impact is and what legal options we may or may not have as a town to deal with things like solar farms and battery storage. So I would highly support extending the moratorium because this is going to take a little time. And would ask you to think about putting a group together to look at this. A couple members from the board, a couple
right.
members from planning, Cal, and really work our way through this.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, and this goes back to, of course, if everybody's been paying attention to the news, Onondaga County, OSIDA recently released new tax break layouts for apartments and, you know, that kind of living, which is relatively new to the town of Lysander, and we want to make sure we have our ducks in a row before the county comes knocking or things start progressing faster than we're ready for. So, we have our plates full.
What you're going to get, and I think you've already seen it, is you're going to have people approaching you and saying, how about we take this chunk of land and make it incentive zoning? And then I can come in and put apartments there. Because right now it's zoned, I can't do it. So you've got some things to think about.
Right. Did you have any other parts
no,
so I, far?
No.
You don't want to discuss the first paragraph again, Bob?
I'm gonna let you have this one, Jack.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. That was Bob's and my favorite conversation for quite a while when the incentive zoning law was being discussed again. Yes.
Well, it'd be great if you can guarantee. I'm sorry, but it would be great if the incentive zoning actually precluded any development anywhere else. But even though you're hoping for that, there's nothing that can bind.
It can't. But maybe it will because of the benefits that are potential to a developer.
Right.
It'll focus their attention in right. certain areas. That's why we say we don't say it does.
Right.
We say.
Right.
But yeah, we know.
And what, Al, could you, to make it easier for the public, because I don't think I ever got in the last 3 weeks, and that's shame on me, is get the recommended changes up on the website. But could you also get the original code in there and maybe put the changes in red or like a strike through?
Some of them are totally new sections.
Right,
we can.
You know, maybe put the old code up, section above, remove, replace.
We'll come up with something.
Because these cover more than just one part of the code. It's not hard to pull out the old code e-codes, but I don't have the technical savvy to do what I'm asking.
We can format it. Yes.
And the public would probably be able to follow along a lot better with that.
Between
printing out 8 pages like I did.
My only recommendation is if you're going to put the proposed things up on the website, which I think is a good idea, maybe you need to have a header that says these will likely be changed. This is not the final proposed
draft. Right. Yeah, draft or proposed, maybe in a watermark, proposed.
Yeah, draft being the considered with a draft.
Yeah, or even watermark. Put proposed.
Draft for consideration with a draft watermark.
Something like that.
Yeah. Right, so nobody prints it and thinks it's.
The last time we did it, caused chaos. In the
did that happen before?
Certain members of the public.
So.
They couldn't quite understand this was not the change. This was a concept for discussion.
Well, be ready. It'll come again. Okay. Okay. So, next item. Fred, you have a question?
We're still on item three proposals?
Yes.
Okay. Fred Birch, Plainville Road. I guess I'm a little bit baffled. It says proposed local law changes / battery storage. Based on my observation, 99% of that conversation had nothing to do with batteries.
No, what I put that on there because we also have the moratorium on solar farms and the battery storage.
Okay.
So ultimately, we'll probably have this as a group following through for whatever process. If the stuff that'll have to be referred to county planning, we'll group that off. The stuff that doesn't, we'll group that off.
Continuation on that. Along what Jack was talking about, I mean, you really need to be descriptive in what you're talking about, what type of batteries,
right,
size and things of those nature. In other words, we don't want to make somebody's heavy purchase for their business obsolete because we put it into a broad category, okay? And another thing to concern is I heard during that conversation about a 200-foot setback. And could I ask you if that's regarding industrial commercial usage, or is that also including residential usage?
Just for solar, Fred.
Just for solar, but that would it just be industrial commercial usage?
It's for,
or would it be homeowner usage?
For solar farms.
Yeah, it's solar farms. Farm. Yes.
Just because from my observation driving around town, I would probably, Van Buren, life standard, 90% of the installations are on a building, on their roof or on their barn.
Yeah.
For residential.
Right.
And most of those buildings aren't 200 feet off.
No.
You're correct.
Okay.
That is covered under another aspect of the code.
Okay. Just wanted to make
residential
sure.
Residential and industrial are different.
Understand we want to protect our community against the industrial and the unsightly look, but as far as the homeowner is concerned, they're black. It looks just like a black roofed, you know what I mean? If it's not standing on a pole out in the middle of the yard, I
right.
think that, you know.
Yeah.
And the batteries, I mean, I think they need to be descriptive.
Our law is determined by kilowatt, right? It's determined by energy.
Size. And I think also whether they're lead acid or lithium ion. I mean, just yesterday, we had a fire in the old Skytop apartment, second floor. It was a lithium ion battery. Now there's 9 people in that building who can't live there anymore. But we need to separate those which are more dangerous than your typical lead acid battery, which I don't probably hasn't ever caused a fire.
Right. Yeah.
It'll be, I'm sure most of that's going to be clearly defined by the state's recommendations too.
Okay.
That's driven around the two primary technologies that are out there now for large scale battery storage for commercial solar storage. So yeah, we would do that, Fred.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
When we get to it, we haven't made those proposals yet.
Two other issues, if I might, real quick. I know the installation has been on 60 Road for a year and a half now. We were referring to that one when we were talking about the unsightly. Is there any way that this town could reach out to the current property owner or the investor about retrofitting that area along Church Road? And I would even, if it's possible, we could get 6 inches of fir trees. I'd go out there and offer my time to plant them myself. I know it would take time, but certainly that would be better than nothing.
The project you're discussing, they had hurdles they've yet to cover.
Yes, Fred. So they don't have a certificate of occupancy or certificate of completion yet for that project, and we've been withholding that because they owe us landscaping.
Okay. And then one last thing. I've tried to do as much research as I possible. Each night I try to spend 20 minutes YouTube and searching Google, other townships that are dealing with this. And what I've come across through my research is most of the issues arise, and I'm looking at developments that have been in 10, 15, 20 years in other areas. They're just now reaching our neck of the woods, but they've been in other areas like Texas and Oklahoma for a long time. The issue that those municipalities are running into is the original company that came in and leased the property from the farmer and started the business, there's a 75% rate of turnover where those original businesses are now selling off that business to another company who's coming in to continue to run the solar farm. And the problem that the municipalities and the constituencies have is the new people that have been coming in don't seem to have the same promise or level of standards that were promised them initially by the initial investor. Like the first team that came in, yeah, we're good. After 30 years, we'll decommission it. You'll never know we're here. But then they run into problems. They sell off, and the new people that come in, they don't seem to want to be as working. You know, they look at it more as like a business.
Right, but they still have to follow. We have that written into our solar law where there is a, you know, end of life. And, you know, there's a certain amount of money set aside. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they still have to follow the contract that was agreed to.
They're not going to get a permit to operate it on a changeover unless they do meet certain standards.
Yeah, we're all for green energy, but, Jack, nobody wants to see, after a 30-year limited life, if we're fortunate enough to be here,
nobody
wants to look at, you know, old rundown.
Right, they had the foresight to write that into our first part.
The bottom line is most of these are all individual LLCs. Each project is an individual LLC, and what happens when it sells is they just sell the shares of the LLC to somebody else, and there's no notice or anything else. The LLC is still holding the bond, and really, every one that we've approved since we found out about this little trick with how they are transferring ownership, we've required right in the site plan approval that they notify the town if a new principal.
Okay, so you guys are all aware of that. Okay,
yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred.
Next up, town audit. Councilor Kudrak.
Yeah, I brought this up. We're in a new year. We've had three comptrollers since our new comptroller has taken place, and I believe the last time the town has been audited was in 2012, and I think that the town should be audited, especially since we have a new comptroller in place, so that way, you know, he starts with a clean bill of slate, so to speak.
We are currently under contract with Bonneville Group, because we had the comptroller leave, and I'm also a new supervisor. So we are working through the year end of 2023. It is a legitimate concern. It's one I also share. I had spoke to Bonadio Group about this just in passing right now, because I'm really not sure what path. You know, when you talk about audit, you're going to get specific things that would be required of you to change. You could also sit there and have them review your books and pick out certain areas that you might want to audit a certain project or a certain area, but they could also review our accounting standards and our practices, and a review is more of an informal passing. And, you know, I'm still on the fence of which way should we go. Now, on one hand, we really haven't had this done in almost 15 years, but on the other hand, you start going back to 15 years and the bill would be astronomical. So I think in the coming months, these are our hurdles to hit. We have reporting standards by the state and federal government with ARPA we have to hit in April. So by April 30th, we have to have our annual audit, which is now called an AFR, which we are on a very good pace for our timeframes to hit that. You have to hit it. No matter what, you have to have the report to the state by April 30th. I'm very confident that it will all be in by April 30th. I met with the comptroller today. We're getting to the step where we're planning on starting the AFR part of the review, and that gives us almost 6 weeks between next week and then to finish that up, get it submitted. It's all online. It's not like you got to mail it anymore. So that part will be done. And then Colin, our comptroller, will be able to start, you know, he's doing 2024 as he goes through, but then he'll actually be able to work on 2024. And I think Colin, once we get him through April, I think he'll be in a better position to actually present to the board where he's at and what he's comfortable with. You know, he's got a couple years of experience coming from Camillus, and he's definitely writing things down as he goes along as to what he's looking at. So, you know, and then I think we'll have a better idea of audit or a financial review for areas to assign, and maybe there are a couple things that he sees that maybe we should do an audit of specific projects or accounts to just see where they ended up.
I'm good with what you just said, Kevin. I mean, if we were told that the town of Lysander is really behind the eight ball and not having an audit done since, what was it, 2012, then maybe we need to consider. But if we're doing the norm, if we're doing what most towns do, if not all towns, I'm good.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Can I say a few things?
Did anybody else have anything? Or I just want to make sure the board was done. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Mr. Helfer.
The purpose, I've been involved in these. I've read multiple countless things from them. Not on a town side, but on a company side, financial audits. And the real purpose of an audit is not to find, you know, fraud or, you know, embezzlement. The purpose of an audit is really to be able to identify if there's sufficient internal controls in place. Now, my concern here is that you haven't had an audit in 15 years, and you're on your fourth comptroller. I think it would behoove you to have an audit done to determine if there are sufficient internal controls. Because what would happen if, you know, suppose there is some embezzlement that happens in the future that may not have happened in the past, what happens after today or this year, under this administration. The concern now would be your state comptroller is going to come in, your county comptroller is going to come in, and the first thing they're going to do is evaluate whether or not you had sufficient internal controls in place to prevent the problem. So what they'll say the town was complicit in the problem by not identifying whether or not they had sufficient internal controls. And my concern, again, would be the fact that you've gone on, you're on your fourth controller now in as many years, and you haven't had an audit in 15 years. And I would suggest, you know, talking a little bit more with Bonadio, you're absolutely correct from the sense of you can have a full audit to GAAP, or you can have a review. You can also, you don't have to specify the last 15 years, you can specify the last 2 or 3 years.
Right.
But you really want them to identify whether or not there are sufficient internal controls in place. And if there are, this is the perfect time to do it. Because then you make that a key objective, the new controller, to identify or fix whatever they come up with the audit. Right now, I think it's the perfect time to actually do that. But I'd be very concerned as a taxpayer, if you don't do it, the fact that it hasn't been done in 15 years, you may come through with a clean audit. But if they find things again from an internal control perspective that need to get rectified, now that is the time to do it. You have a new administration and you have a new controller. Again, the purpose of the audit is not to find, you know, like somebody did something bad in the past. They might find that, who knows? But that is not the purpose. The purpose is really to identify those internal controls. And then also the current Bonadio contract is just for payroll services. They specifically identify that they are not going to be identifying anything that is the town's responsibility for designing, implementing, and maintaining internal control, preventing, detecting fraud, identifying, and ensuring that the account complies with the laws and regulations put into applicable activities. Also, Bonadio in the current contract, at least the letter-to-letter agreement from January that we just signed, Bonadio is not being engaged and will not perform an audit, review, or compilation of financial information, therefore will not be providing an opinion or any other form of assurance thereon, nor will they otherwise verify the data that you submit for accuracy or completeness.
And I think we're paying them $225 an hour for 16 to 24 hours a week for essentially payroll assistance, which is great to get the new comptroller up to speed. But I also think, you know, at $15,000 to $20,000 a month, that money might be better spent actually on an internal audit and identifying if there are any internal control issues.
Yeah, and just it, the contract, they are assisting with reconciling accounts. It's more than just payroll, which okay, I think but was either missed in that contract.
But they're not going to do an audit.
No, they're not. No, because of what I said, they identify that, and that creates certain tripwires and other things you have to account for.
Right.
You know, whereas the review would be more of, hey, we noticed this. This is the standard accounting practice. This is what was done. Here's something you might want to identify. In the future, you know, you should try to come up with safeguards and preventives or checks to take care of that. So, yes. No, this is just a preliminary, putting it out to the public. So in a month or so, we come up with something. We get that done. Yeah, we've decided to go with an audit. Everybody's like, oh, we're getting an audit. Oh, my gosh, where'd that come from? Trying to be... Yeah. Is open and upfront early enough, just might be 2 months from now before we decide to do something.
Yeah, no, I would recommend that the board go forward with at least getting, you know, a draft engagement letter for an audit from Bonadio to understand what scope, right. What's the scope and the cost, the scope of the audit, and obviously the cost of the audit.
Sure.
But I think it would be something that, again, as a taxpayer, just be feel a little bit more comfortable. And I'm not saying there's anything problem there, but there could be.
Yeah.
There's some red flags here with the number of people that have been in that position.
Right. Okay. What was it, Fred? Quick.
Just to follow up on what Mr. Helfrich just said regarding this audit. I mean, does the board anticipate this being like a 1 month thing or being a continuing line item thing that we would need them there?
Oh, Bonadio?
Yeah.
No, this is just to finish 2023. Our comptroller, our previous comptroller left the end of 2023.
But I mean, as far as...
I was new.
The oversight, right. Does the board anticipate this being a, like Mr. Albert said, $20,000 a month? Do we anticipate this?
No, this is a shot in the arm to get us finished up on 2023.
Nathan Wade kind of money there. You know, we anticipate more than 1 month of this, or
no. Where we're at is what I anticipated.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to echo the first comment about internal control. So I think the opportunity of an audit is to establish an internal control process that actually creates a memory for future comptrollers, because the turnover is potentially a red flag, but it really could be compensation at the municipal level versus opportunities in the private sector for someone with that skill set. I would just say in the SUNY space, we've had a hard time retaining people with the same skill set because we're not always competitive in the salary space.
Right.
And so creating the internal control documents and really creates this handbook and this memory that will help get future controllers up to speed if there's some churn, and would minimize future need for expenditures for outside, which, you know, comes at a premium.
Okay. Thank you. And we'll end the work session at 6:27. We'll take a couple minute recess in case anybody needs something.
One more item.
Sorry. One more item. Town Board iPad purchase council.
It wasn't iPad. It was Microsoft Surface.
We talked about tablets.
We talked about it last time.
And what I had said to Councilor Koudarakis, I had a quote last fall about media, you know, another monitor, a screen back here to help. I wanted to get quotes overall for everything to see what would be beneficial to the town about finishing up the social media system and getting one quote for the group of items that would all be tied together as opposed to piecemealing something out. So I have not heard back from first office. So talking with Ken at Visual Tech tomorrow, and then I'll have an idea of what I'm looking for to get the other quotes. Okay.
Yep.
So we'll end the work session at 6:28. We'll take 5 minutes in case people need to get up and stretch. Thank you.